I was an undergraduate at UVA, and I went to see a poetry reading by a semi-famous poet, and I loved it. I loved all the poems, and they were kind of like jokes. They would start out like jokes, like two angels are sitting on a cloud in heaven and they're dropping pennies on the people down below, or a general and a tango singer are having dinner together in a restaurant when the restaurant catches on fire. And then they would go on from there and they'd turn into these kind of elaborate fables that were very profound and funny and moving. So I left the poetry reading transformed, and I went and eventually bought the book, and I loved the book even more. And I would read poems from the book to my friends. I'd say, "Hey, you gotta hear this poem," and I'd read the poem to them. And I'd read them to women that I wanted to sleep with, and sometimes they'd even sleep with me. And I loved this book so much I would even I'd take it with me everywhere where I went practically. Sometimes I'd even take it on vacation. I'd go. If I was going to the beach, I'd bring it with me because I kind of had this fantasy about sitting on the beach and reading my favorite book of poems and smoking cigarettes. And maybe some beautiful person would walk up and I would read one of the poems to her, and who knows what would happen. And then, so the years went by. And in the meantime, I was writing my own poems and getting better at it. And then it was time for me to graduate from UVA, and I had to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And I thought, I think I'm going to be a poet. That's what I'm going to do. But you can't make a living being a poet. You have to do something else. And what most people do is they teach. And actually, that's what the semi-famous poet did, is he taught other people to write poetry. In order to teach, you have to get a degree, and you go, So I decided to do that. I decided I would go to the college where the semi-famous poet taught. And so I filled out the application. You have to write an essay, and I wrote an essay about how much I loved the semi-famous poet and how his poems were like jokes, but then they turned into parables that were really profound, and I loved it. And they sent me back a letter, and it said, "Congratulations, you got in, and we really like you, and we loved your essay on the semi-famous poet, and we're looking forward to seeing you in September." So I went off to grad school, and I got there, and it was disappointing because it turned out that the semi-famous poet was going on a sabbatical, and he was an extended sabbatical. He was going to be gone pretty much the whole time I was in grad school. But I already paid my tuition and I was there, and so I went and I really enjoyed it, and I made a lot of good friends, and after a couple of years it was time for me to graduate from there. Then the greatest thing happened, which was that it turned out that like 3 or 4 days before I graduated, the semi-famous poet was going to come back to the school for this special conference. And he was going to be there, and I could meet him and tell him, how much I loved him. And so I had this idea, I had this fantasy that I would get him to sign my book, the book that had changed my life. Over the years, it had gotten sort of really beat up, and it had, the binding was falling apart, and the pages were coming out, and it had cigarette burns on the cover and stuff. And taking it to the beach, had not really done very well for the book. And so I was sort of embarrassed to have him sign that. So I thought, well, I'll buy a new one, and I'll just tell him this is the new one, because I wore the first one out because I loved it so much. And so I did that. I bought the new one, and I had this friend, this wonderful friend, who's this. She was this middle-aged Belgian woman who smoked a lot. She had this deep, smoky Belgian voice, Laurent. Laurent told me this thing about how this other friend of ours, who had graduated earlier, wanted to give us all a bottle of really good champagne to celebrate our graduation, but she couldn't be there herself, so she sent Laurent $100 to buy the champagne. But Laurent was like, "Oh, this is such a pain in my ass, Browning. Oh, I don't have time to get the champagne." And I said, "Well, things were really busy, but I said, I've got an hour on Thursday where I could go to the place to get the champagne. So if you give me the money, I'll go by." "Oh, that would be wonderful, Browning, for sure. So come see me at 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, come find me. I will be at this one place." So I said, "Okay." So I go at 3 o'clock, and it turns out she's actually in a meeting with this semi-famous poet. And they're having this really sort of intense conference, and they're talking to each other. And I didn't want to interrupt because it's, you know, I was kind of shy about it anyway. And so I'm hovering around the edge of the thing, sort of waiting for Lauren to notice me. And she does, and I say, Lauren, I kind of need just the money for the wine. And she says, oh, yes, right, here you go, here's the money for the wine. And then the semi-famous poet looks at me and says, you know, when I'm having a conversation with someone and I am interrupted, I generally like to be, acknowledged. And when I am not acknowledged, it makes me very irritable. And when I get irritable, and this is just a funny thing about me, but when I get irritable, it makes me want to punch someone in the nose. And I said, I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm terribly sorry. I just didn't want to interrupt. And I kind of took the $100 bill and backed out of the room, you know, and I got in my car, and I'm driving to go buy the wine. It's the Dom Perignon, you know? And, oh, my God, you know? I mean, I really should have acknowledged him. And, you know, and, God, why was that such a weird thing to say? I mean, did he really say kind of, he kind of implied he was going to punch me in the nose. I mean, so I'm driving, I buy the wine, and I come back, and I'm so devastated, you know? And then I bumped into Lauren. And she said, oh, Browning, you know, don't take it personally. He's going through a lot right now. And it's not, you know, you shouldn't worry about it. It's not about you. It's not about you. And I thought, well, you know, maybe she's right. And maybe there's something behind all this that I didn't really understand. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm not going to let this bother me. Because what I'm going to do is I'm gonna go ahead with my plan, and I'm gonna get him to sign the book, and that'll kind of clear things up. You know, I'll tell him how much his work has meant to me, and that'll fix things. That'll be the way that we get this worked out. So, you know, there's graduation, and we get our diplomas, and applause, and it's this great thing, and it's all really happy. And I had my book with me, and so I went up after him, and I said, you know, I feel like we got off on the wrong foot, and it was really painful to me because I wanted you to know that how much your work meant to me, because I heard you read when I was a kid, and it made a big impression on me, this book was really important. Well, you know, I have a new book, and I said, well, yeah, actually, I know, I have that one too, but this one was actually really, you know, you could buy the new book. Yeah, I know, but see, I bought, this is actually the second copy of the book, because, you know, I loved the first one so much that I wore it out, and he said, what did you do? Soak it with semen? And I didn't know what to say to that. I mean, that was that's a good question, I guess, you know. What did I do? I think I see what's going on here. You're just an asshole. So the lesson that I learned from that is that you should be really careful about meeting your heroes, because they might be assholes. And it's a lot better to admire someone that you think they are than to learn that the person who wrote the poems that you loved was an asshole. So that's my story. Thank you.